Wouldn't it be nice if you could do that? And you felt that I need to hear something, and you could just go, had a system, set a bush on fire, something, and God would speak. Does anybody else just wish that God would communicate more easily than sometimes he tends to do it? Anybody? A few of you do. Some of you are, I don't want to know what he has to say. Keep it to himself. But what we want to do through this series is we want to have an opportunity for us to talk about how do we hear from God. It's one of the things that for many of us is, was that me? For many of us, we desperately want to hear what God has to say. For many of us, we would do just about anything to hear what God wants to say to us. And I don't know about you, but I kind of grew up believing that God would speak to some, but not to others. I grew up believing that God had something to say to those that were really spiritual, but maybe not to those that weren't. But it was always the good stuff. You really wanted to hear from God. Now, sometimes we turn on the TV and we have people in there talking about hearing from God all the time. About every couple of years, somebody heard from God that the world's going to end, and they've given them the date and the time, and we go, okay. And a few times, it's created kind of a mass panic in some people. And yet, none of those have ever come true. And because we are so focused on the present and we do not remember our history, another person in the next couple of years will come forward and say God has told them the world's going to end, and there will be a bunch of people that will believe. They'll forget all the other people that said that, and it didn't happen. What does it really take to hear God speak? Now, here's what I know about us. No matter how connected you are, no matter how connected you are through your phone, through your laptop, at work, making phone calls, face-to-face, no matter how connected you are, would you not agree with me that we are habitually bad at communication? Would anybody agree with that? Do you know what the worst form of communication is? Email. Or texts, or anything else that's written and not spoken. Has anybody ever gotten in trouble over an email and you totally didn't mean it that way? How about, have you ever really gotten mad at somebody and then once you talk to them, they said, that's totally not what I meant in that email or text? Of course, you are sure you believed them. We are habitually bad at communication. Now, I will agree, there are times that we troll Facebook, and one of the times that I trolled Facebook was yesterday, and I found some examples of how bad we are at communication, and I've got a few pictures to show you. These are headlines. County to pay $250,000 to advertise a lack of funds. Not the message they really wanted to send with that. Bugs flying around with wings are flying bugs. Army vehicle disappears. An Australian Army vehicle worth $74,000 has gone missing after being painted with camouflage. Some of you want to know who did the camouflage, right? You've got a vehicle you want to show up at their shop. This lady's name, her last name is Chick. Chick accuses some of her male colleagues of sexism. That's her last name, by the way. Breaking news, dead body found in cemetery. You all didn't know you were missing out on all this good stuff, did you? Deaf people focus a fraud. The quote up there in the corner, I tried to warn people and save some of them from investing, but some didn't listen. Somebody didn't proofread that. Let that one sink in just for a moment. She was still alive hours before she died. Guess what? You will be too. And it's possible that somebody will write a story about that. Federal agents raid gun shop, find weapons. Good thing. Now if they just had ammo, right, for some of you. Mayor perished the homeless. Go home. Now listen, we could honestly stay here for a while and talk about this one for a while. Isn't this our strategy for a lot of things? Just go home. Homicide victims rarely talk to police. Another one. Let that one just soak in for a moment. We're habitually bad at communication. Yeah, right. The times they do, there are rare occasions that it happens. And then this one, some of you can relate, especially if you've got kids. Waterford boy, 8, saved sister's life. The quote, if you can't read it, I wouldn't do it again. She's been a pain this week. So, you know, we are just habitually bad at communication. And if we struggle with communication over the very basic facts of news, then how much more will we struggle when we're trying to communicate with the Creator of all things? Especially when He doesn't communicate often in the ways that we have become so accustomed. But to be honest, most of us are lazy communicators. Because we communicate with shorthand, we communicate with words that aren't actually words, and I'm guilty of that myself. I sometimes do that in sermons. I make them up. If you don't have a right word, just make one up. We ask to be in front of somebody. We use only the words that need to be spoken, and the English language, honestly, over the span of every other language that has ever been created, is one of the most simplistic languages that has ever been created, with fewer descriptive words than almost any other culture out there. I mean, we just lump all kinds of meanings in a very few amount of words. And then because we tend to be lazy communicators, we even abandon some of those, and we try to nail it all down as quickly and concisely as we can. For some of you, your job requires that. I've got to get it out quick. I've got to give it to you in 3 sentences, and if you don't have it, I've got to hire somebody else that can. Some of you, this is your reality. For some of you, you're so busy, you don't have time to expound or really go into depth and detail. If you ask Deidre, if she asked me how my day went, guess how it went? Good, fine. She doesn't want that. She wants more details. Our kids do that as well. We are lazy communicators. In addition, we often will not try to clarify a misunderstanding. Instead, what we'll do is we'll judge the person that miscommunicated. We are lazy communicators. True communication takes time. It takes effort. If you have a significant other, whether you're dating or whether it's a husband or a wife, if you have a significant other, you would agree with me, I'm sure, that it requires more time to honestly communicate than it is just to go about your day-to-day details. We are habitually bad at communication. That being the case, how much worse is it when God doesn't communicate in the shortcut ways in which we become accustomed? So how do we communicate? How do we do this? Is there a trick? Is there a formula? Now, when I grew up, we went through the Lord's Prayer, and we went through a formula and that you could actually go through and pray the Lord's Prayer, and that was a way to communicate with God, and yet many people have prayed that formula and still feel very distant and like God is not listening. So how do we communicate? In the next few weeks, I want to give you some very practical steps or very practical tools that will help. They will not guarantee anything, but they will help. But today what I want to do is I want to frame all of this in such a way as to help you understand, how do I hear from God? And for some of you, this will be freeing and life-giving. For others of you, it will just add to the frustration that you already feel over this topic. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 came to mind for me as I was getting ready this morning, and it is so true in many ways and facets of life. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." Now, let's be honest. Are we not, at most of the time that we're praying, seeking God to help make our path straight? Isn't that really what we want? God, I've messed up. What do I do? God, I've made a mistake. What do I do? God, this is happening. It's going to be really painful. I need you to rescue. I need you to step in here. What do I do? Are we not really, in those moments, asking God to make our paths straight? Now, for me, I've learned that the easiest way is rarely the best way. There are very few things in life that the easy way is the best way. The easy way almost always leads to do-overs, doesn't it? If you cheat at work, you're going to do it over. If you cheat at school, you're going to do it over. If you take a shortcut, you're going to get behind the car that decides that they're out for a Sunday drive. There are no shortcuts to doing things well. Doing things well take intention. They take time. They take patience. They take investment. They take investment of yourself, of your time, of your resources, and of your ability to trust. Now, what I want to do today is I want to dismantle some of your understandings of what it means to hear from God, because let's be honest, many of us assume God owes it to us to communicate with us. He owes it to. I mean, He's creator. We're not. He gave us Jesus. We've asked Jesus to be our Savior. He should communicate with us. If He doesn't want us to do something, He should tell us. Now, many of us approach following the instructions of God the way that I approached following the instructions of my parents at times. They didn't explicitly say not to do it, so let's do it, right? Some of you are scared to death your kids are going to follow that life principle. They didn't explicitly say not to do this, so why not? And we often approach Scripture the same way. We'll do a quick reading over something and say, God, do you explicitly say I shouldn't do that? And we expect that communicating with God falls under the same rules of grace that the offer of salvation does. Let me just say right now, it does not. Some of you are going, what? Communicating with God does not require God giving you grace and an expectation that He's just going to communicate with you because He wants to. That's not how it works. In fact, for some of us, we're just waiting for God, and we're just kind of drifting around life thinking, well, God will kind of owes it to me to talk to me, to help me through this situation. And as we looked last week, God does not act just because we ask Him to. And I also challenge you to begin thinking, what is your goal in communicating with God? Is it just to get stuff from Him? Because that's usually how we communicate. Or are we seeking to give value to Him? Whenever we want to hear from Him, is it to help us in a specific instance? Or is it to learn to follow Him more closely throughout the way? There are many times in following Jesus that He leads you to places that are no fun to go, right? There are many times He will tell us, this is how I want you to follow me. This is what I want you to do. And we know that in order to do that, it's going to be painful, right? That walking through the valley of the shadow of death, that is painful. He is going to lead us there. And so if your goal in life is to feel good about everything that you do, you cannot follow Jesus. There's this whole thing that says, die to yourself and live for Christ. You cannot paint the picture of dying to yourself in a way that feels good. Dying to yourself is painful. That's why there's so many people today leaving the church, is because they bought into a gospel that didn't say anything about dying to themselves. It just says, get me out of hell and help me to have a better life. I'm in for that. If that doesn't happen, I'm out. There's a lot of people checking out for that very reason, because they never really wanted in to begin with. But what I've found with my own life is in the days that it gets hard, and the times of following Jesus are the times that I want to say, God, you know what? This was just, I didn't want to do this. This is really not the way we need to go. There's something that keeps me following Jesus. And many times that's hearing from Him. Because at the very bottom line of what it means to be a follower of Jesus is the invitation for a beautiful relationship with Him. To walk with Him. For Him to know you're there. On a day that you feel like just throwing in everything, He says, you are worthy and you are my child. Whenever you've gone and done everything wrong that day, and you would do anything for a do-over, and His grace and His mercy surrounds us and says, I love you. That's what keeps me in it. It's not the stuff He promises. Yeah, I want to go to heaven. That's a long way off, I hope. What about right now? It's the walking with Jesus now that's the beautiful stuff. That's the good stuff. It's the hearing from God. The here and now. I read you a passage last week. I want to talk a little bit more about it this week. 1 Kings chapter 19. Because a lot of us have read this, and this kind of sums up, well, I don't hear from God for this very reason. It says, "And he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord," talking to Elijah. "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces and the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind." For some of you, that moment is whenever you get the notice that you're losing your job, and you in a moment say, "God, I need something to replace this job." For you, the earthquake is a new job offer right then. You get a text on your phone for a job you didn't even apply for that's twice the benefits and twice the pay, right? That's the earthquake. Man, it just hits you upside the head. There's no way to ignore it. Wow, God, that's just amazing. I didn't even apply for this job. For some of us, that's what we expect to hear from God. It goes on, it says, "After the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire," and this is the verse that we hate, but we chalk up the reason we don't hear from God. "And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper." Now, I hate whispering. I hate everything about whispering. I hate when I'm in a movie and someone tells me to whisper when I'm trying to tell them something that's vitally important right at that moment in the movie. I hate whispering. You know what I hate worse than whispering myself? Trying to listen to somebody else whisper. It has nothing to do with the fact that I abused my earbuds as a child. I hate whispering. There are certain shows that Deidre and I like to watch that I just about quit watching them because the actors believe that it's more dramatic to whisper than just project. Just project. Get it out there. I hate whispering. And then as I get older, and it really does get harder to hear when people are whispering, I really hate it even more. But the idea that God would communicate through a whisper just about throws me to the curb. Why would you whisper? God, you know me. You know me. You know I don't respond to whispering. You know that subtlety does not work on me at all. I mean, if you're not writing in my face, it's not going to work. Why would you whisper? That just makes no sense whatsoever. And yet, in all of these times when I'm looking for the wind and the earthquake and the fire, God's whispering. It says, verse 13, "And when Elijah heard it," which is also just as important. When Elijah heard it. Now, right now, some of you are thinking, "I know God whispers. What are you going to say about that?" That's not really the point either. We'll come back to that. "When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice that said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" Now, in similar fashion, God asked Elijah what he's doing there. Isn't that funny? Why would God ask Elijah what he's doing there? I mean, he told him to go there, right? He said, "Now, I want you to go to this cave." And he goes, and then he says, "What are you doing here?" But isn't that fun? What are you doing here? How many times have we gone to God, and if he were to ask us a question, we would not have anything to say? "What are you doing here, Mark?" "Well, I thought you knew that, God." "I'm not real sure." "What are you doing here?" God often gets down to the meat of the matter with us. A lot of the way that we talk for the benefit of ourselves, not for the benefit of others. Have you ever thought about that? We phrase things that benefit us rather than benefit others. We qualify things that we've done to make ourselves look better than it really was. God never listens to that stuff. Whenever we get in front of God and say, "God, listen, let me tell you all the things I did for you today," that doesn't matter to God. We think it matters to God because somehow it's supposed to matter to us, but that doesn't matter to God. What we did for him, God always cuts right to the heart of the matter. "What are you doing here?" What if we went to God with our requests and you heard audibly, "Why are you asking me this? Why does this matter? What would we say? Would we have an answer? See, again, we assume that grace revolves around God communicating with us the same way that the invitation of the gospel does, but grace doesn't work that way. Paul talks about this in Romans. He says, should we just go on sinning and let grace increase and abound all the more? May it never be. Grace was never meant to cover over all of our unwillingness. Grace was meant to be an invitation when we give up. And giving up is what often it takes to hear from God. Are we giving up? Have we worked out the plan? Now, here's how I know in my own life when I haven't given up. It's when I have the plan, and I know what needs to be done, and I let God know what needs to be done so God can act on only the way that He can, and I worship Him for that, right? But it's my plan. There have been many of my plans that don't work out very well. Anybody else? Anybody else have that problem? We come up with plans. Josh is about to jump up and come up and say hallelujah. So any of our plans not work out the way we hoped that they would? Or better yet, they did, and you wish they hadn't? So many times our prayer life is about going to God and saying, God, here's the plan. Now let's get on the same page here. And when God doesn't respond, we go, He must have been whispering. I just couldn't hear Him. Is that what this passage means? He whispers. What does that mean? What are you doing here, Elijah? Verse 14, he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. Elijah's under a little bit of stress here, okay? You pick up what's happening here. All of his buddies are being wiped out. Everyone is turning against God, and they're coming after him. He's saying, I'm the last one. He's stressed out right here. He's not sure what he's going to do next. So if you're wondering, well, Elijah's just out for a stroll and says, hey, here's a cave. Hey, God, what's up? That is not what's happening. Elijah is stressed out. All these bad things are happening. They killed your prophets with a sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And listen to what God said. Because see, in this moment, this is where we expect God to say, I am going to protect you. I am going to have gunships surround you and wipe them out. I mean, isn't that what we want? Like, we go into work, we've got to have a hard conversation, and we want God to say, if they don't listen to you, I'm taking them out. Isn't that what we want God to say? So what does God say to Elijah? He's like, God, I'm the last one. I'm it. What are you going to do about this? And this is what he says. He says, go. Get out of here. Leave. Go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be the king over Syria. Okay, God, good for him. He's going to be king. We're good for him. What about me? Can we get back to me? I'm the one being hunted here. Because one of the crucial understandings of hearing God speak is that God speaks what God needs to speak to us, not what we want him to speak. Elijah wanted him to speak protection. He wanted him to speak a plan. And often when God speaks, he speaks direction for his purposes. Now, if you read through this, you're going to find that Elijah meets up on this journey and he anoints another prophet, Elisha. And the two of them begin to go and spread. And so God is working behind the scenes. But I want to pull back here just for a minute to say, how do you hear the whisper of God? He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. He was in this low whisper. How do you listen for a low whisper? And if you're asking that question, it's the wrong question to ask. Because we're lazy communicators. Because what we want is God to make it easy on us. So we just get it. And obviously we understand the value of it, and then we go do it. The problem is, so many teachings of Jesus are not comfortable at all. Go back and read the Sermon on the Mount. Those are very uncomfortable sayings. There's a reason people would come in masses to see Jesus when he would perform a healing, and in mass they would exit when he began to teach. His teachings were not easy. They weren't comfortable. Why would the words that he chose to spoke to us be any different? When we begin to ask the question, how do you listen for a low whisper? We're asking the wrong question. Here's what we end up doing. And believe me, I have done these things myself. We begin to read through scripture, and when we're really desperate, we say, God, how do I hear your prayer? And so we read things like, if you go and you pray out on the street corner and you use a lot of words, then, you know, God's going to reject your prayer and you're going to have your reward in full. Okay, so I don't pray outside. I do not pray on a street, and I make my prayer as short as possible. Okay, let's try that. That's how a lazy communicator works. Okay, let's get right down to the meat of the matter. And then we read that it says, you know, you should go and find an inner room, and then in that inner room, you should go and pray in secret so nobody knows that you're praying. Okay, I've got a closet. I can clean out my stuff. I can go in there and pray. God, I need an answer. I'm in my closet. You told me to be here. I'm listening. Or maybe it's not the room that we're in. Maybe we need to set the mood, right? We need to kind of coerce God into talking. And so we turn down some really low, you know, Christian music so God will speak, because we got to have the right environment for God to speak. We got to listen to his whisper, not too loud. I mean, you can't be listening to Toby Mac or something, because that's not God stuff. I mean, you got to be listening to some low-key, you know, Gunger if you want to hear from God, because that's where God speaks. This is where we go when we begin to listen for the low whisper, right? For some of you, you're like, man, if it's not Sandy Patty, man, you're not hearing from God. That's just the way it is. And I used to hear from God from Amy Grant, but then she married that guy, and it's all over now. I can't listen to Amy. You know, this is what happens when lazy communicators try to understand listening to a low whisper. Does it mean everything's got to be silent? Does it mean we got to have candles burning? Do we have to be outside under a tree? See, that's how lazy communicators seek to hear from God. It really doesn't take a lot of effort to walk into a room or to light a candle or to turn on some music. That doesn't take a lot of effort. Trusting in the Lord takes effort. And what I have found is that God speaks to those who trust. The truth is, God is more concerned with your history of listening rather than learning a new listening skill. Does that make sense? He's more interested in your history of listening than he is in you figuring out some new system by which you're supposed to figure out what God wants. Some of you, it's all about Scripture. Man, it's Scripture. If I got to hear from God, I go to Scripture. And we're going to talk about that. That's crucial. And so you begin flipping. I'm ready to hear from God. Right? That's lazy communicating. But what does it really take? God is concerned with how you listen over time a lot more so than figuring out some little funky little thing that you can write a book about how to hear from God. What does your history of listening to God say about you? John chapter 10 says this. So the Jews gathered around him. They said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? We want to hear from you. For some of us, this is the history of our talks with God. How long will you keep us in suspense? Electric bill's not getting paid. I'm not getting a paycheck. Am I going to get a job? I mean, my kids are going nuts. How do I fix my kids? What do I do, God? God, I have a yearning. I want to do something. I don't know what you want me to do. I just know I don't want to be doing this. How long are you going to keep me in suspense? And the more drastic those circumstances get, the more desperate we begin to hear from God. And so the prayer of how long will you keep me in suspense goes from being annoying to being heart-wrenching. What am I going to hear from you, God? If you are the Christ in this situation, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And they follow me. Some of you are thinking, but this sounds so similar to last week, doesn't it? And they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. The truth is, there is no formula to hearing from God. None. There is no formula to hearing from God. If you bought a book and it was on sale, doesn't mean that you're going to learn how to hear from God. God doesn't work in formulas. God does work through processes, but he doesn't work in formulas. A formula says, if I do A and B, then C will happen. That's not how God works. There's too many times that God says, ha, 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 A plus B equals F. God doesn't work in formulas. The truth is, God is more concerned with your heart than your requests. He's more concerned with your heart. Where is our heart? We're lazy communicators. Sometimes we even fool ourselves. What does our heart tell us? God sent Samuel to find the next king. Remember what he said? Don't look on their outside appearance. And you know, our outside appearance are also all the excuses that we give why we are the way we are. It's the little stories we make up in our heads to justify why we are what we're doing and we're not following Jesus. Just don't look at their outer appearances. Look at their heart. That's where God looks. He looks at your heart. Now, some of you, that's good news, because you're really not all that attractive. No, that's not really what that means. It's good news for me. For some of you, that's good news because people will ignore you. People will walk past you. People will demean you. People will tell you you have no value. And yet God says, I see your heart. I see what's going on inside of you. You are so much more than anyone else sees because I see what you really are. I see your heart. God is much more concerned with our hearts than he is with our requests. Most of our prayer time is often spent trying to make sure God understands our requests than us fully communicating our hearts. Sometimes our requests actually demonstrate our hearts too, by the way. God is more concerned with your heart than your requests. So that often leads to the question of, well, how spiritual do you have to be? How spiritual do you have to be? And that takes us back to what many of us have struggled with much of our lives as a follower of Jesus. Where is the scale? Where is the level that says I am spiritual enough? How do I get there? Is it the church I go to? Is it the number of small groups I go to? Is it the number of times I serve? The amount of time I spend in church? The number of services? I know folks, they go from one service to the next on Sunday. They go to five different churches. Maybe not five, but they go to two or three different churches throughout a week because they got to get it all in. We put this scale up there that says, I got to be at this certain level if I'm going to hear from God. That's not how God works. God also doesn't put spirituality on a scale. If that were true, then you would have to be a Christian a long time before you ever heard from God. And yet God says, I'm standing at the door knocking right now. You open the door, I'm here. We put him on a scale and we shouldn't. Proverbs 3 says this. I already read this once. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Have you ever tried that, by the way? To not lean on your own understanding, it is tough. Our understanding is rock solid. That's why we call it our understanding. When we lean on something else, we're not. In all your ways, acknowledge him. How many of those ways should we acknowledge him? A couple? In all your ways. I mean, literally. The idea here is, every single thing I do, I seek to honor God. Now, you'll never get there. I mean, that's a Jesus coming back and taking us to heaven kind of moment. But yet, do we spend each day trying to make every moment honor God? whether we actually succeed or not. Is that in our minds? Is that in our hearts? Do we really want to honor him? Do we want to acknowledge him? He will make our paths straight. If you're taking notes, understand that listening requires trust. Over and over again, you will find that listening requires trust. If you're talking about your relationship with your spouse, if you're talking about your relationship with your kids, with a friend, or with God, listening requires trust. You have to want to hear, and you have to trust the one who is speaking. For those people that you have relationships that you have begun to doubt the authenticity of the times that they talk with you, you no longer trust them. You no longer listen to them. Listening requires trust. If you want to hear from God, it requires trust. Trusting God. Trusting that God has something to say to you. Trusting that God, whatever he does say, is the best thing. Even if it's not what you're looking for, listening requires trust. It always requires trust. Trust always requires a level of submission. Always, always, always. Can you trust God without submitting to God? No, because if we're not submitting to God, we honestly don't trust him. If I trust him to follow his teachings, I'm submitting to his teachings, not my own understanding. Trust always requires submission. Always, always, always. And submission always allows God to lead you. Will you submit to God? See, we're not even anywhere near a formula at this point. I got to submit to hear from God? I thought I was doing that. Remember, God sees our hearts. Where is our heart in all of this? Submission allows God to lead you and to make your paths straight. John 8 says this, whoever is of God hears the words of God. Isn't that interesting? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear from them is that you are not of God. Man, that stings. Are we of God? Seeking to acknowledge him, honoring him? Is it about us? Me? Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. What? Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Huh. There it is again. Trust. What level of trust does God have for us? Do we trust him? Do we honestly say, God, whatever, I'm in? Do we trust? So how do you start? This is what we're going to spend the next few weeks on. But let me just, a simple analogy to help. How do you start? Does anybody like, you know, fruit off of a tree? You know, grab it. Hopefully it hasn't been sprayed down by pesticides, right? Or you got to go wash it. But you like to get fruit. We like to go pick strawberries. You like to pick blackberries. Our neighbor has a blueberry tree. And they are the best blueberries you've ever had. Do not come pick them. They're for us and for them. Actually, they're for them, but they let us have some. As followers of Jesus, we have to continually demonstrate that we are following him. Knowing Jesus is about following him. It's not about escaping hell or getting into heaven. It's about saying your way is the way, the best way. Even if heaven doesn't exist, I am going to follow you because your way is better. So following is crucial to hearing from God. Here's the real simple one. Pick the low-lying fruit. You know what that means? That means there's some really good fruit at the top of the tree. Get the stuff you can reach. The stuff at the top of the tree can wait. Either it will fall or somebody else will get it, or you can get it later when you've gotten everything else. But get the low-lying fruit. What is the low-lying fruit in being able to hear from God? And it is very simple. Follow his word that he has given us in Scripture. That's the low-lying fruit. He has put it all there for us to hear. So many times I talk to people and they say, man, I just don't hear anything from God. Well, how's your time reading Scripture? Well, I don't really read the Bible either. But you're missing all the low-lying fruit. It's there for a reason. Now, I understand we just started this whole talk about saying that the written word has the most communication errors. You know, there's a reason that that Scripture repeats itself. There's a reason we have more than one account of the same events. It is not just to give us clarity, but to give us different perspectives. But all of it is there to absorb in your life. God has already communicated us with Scripture. I do not believe that is the only way He communicates. That is not the only way. There are many people that think, well, God gave us the Bible, and therefore, that's the only way He talks anymore. No. God communicates in many ways, but He starts with His Word. Pick the low-lying fruit. Some of it is not low-lying fruit in the Bible, I recognize. It takes time, and you got to think about it. You need help understanding it, and there are different nuances and cultural things that you kind of miss at first. As you grow and mature, some of it in Scripture becomes more attainable. But the stuff that's pretty blatantly obvious, pick that and begin the process of following. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Even knowing Jesus can begin with this process. It can't end there, but it can begin there. Pick the low-lying fruit. Bottom line, what I want to leave you with today, those that are actively pursuing God will actively hear from Him. It will happen. It's not a question of if, it will happen. Over the next few weeks, we're going to help you with some tools, but those tools are not a replacement for simply following where He leads. There are a lot of people who know a lot about the Bible, and they don't follow Jesus. It's about following. If you're actively pursuing God, you will actively hear from Him. It's amazing how you will go through Scripture and God will speak to you about what's going on right then in your life. And you're like, this is crazy. God will speak to you because He sees your heart that you're pursuing Him. And He wants to speak to those who are pursuing Him. In other words, it's about an attitude, not a formula. And the last thing I want to leave with you is a question. Are you in a pursuit to know God and to follow His instructions? It's the way of Jesus. Are you on that pursuit? Here's the good thing. You really know deep down whether you are or you're not. That also gives you a great amount of control as to whether you will choose to pursue or not. Are you on the pursuit of knowing God? Following His instructions. You see, the trick in all this, well, there is no trick. But if you will just take the steps of following, God will take the steps to make your path straight. Will you trust Him? He will tell you to do stuff that at times makes no sense. I don't mean go knock over a convenience store so you have money to tithe. I don't mean that. If you get that kind of word from God, come talk to me. That's not a good idea. We don't have a prison ministry yet, but that's not. God is not going to communicate alternatively to how He teaches in Scripture. But if you will take the steps to begin following, if you're in a time right now and you just are desperate to hear from God and you just don't know and you're just like the question being asked to Jesus, how long are you going to keep me in suspense? Just trust and follow. And God will lay out what needs to happen. Amazing that God speaks to those that know Him. Let us seek to do that than to be a people that are known for making their requests known to Him. We're following in the way of Jesus. God does speak. He wants to speak to you. All we have to do is follow. Would you pray with me? Father, God, we thank You for the grace that You do give us. The grace that despite our sin and despite our selfishness, that Jesus gave His life for us. God, I thank You for the ways that You love us when we are unlovable, the ways that You care for us whenever we need care. God, I pray again for those that need to hear from You, those today that they need a word from You. God, I pray that they would be able to hear You clearly. But beyond that, I pray that You would give them the courage and the wisdom to follow in the ways that they have learned about You already. Follow in those ways. So, God, we can hear You speak. God, Your voice, it brings hope. Your voice brings comfort. Your voice helps us to not only know you, but just continue to worship and fall in love with you more. Help us to be that people. And help us to give you honor and worthy in all things. In Jesus' name we pray.